You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Sommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Thursday, April 24th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is NFL draft day in Green Bay, Wisconsin, something that a lot of folks, particularly those listening on WGBW, our great station in Green Bay, have been looking forward to for, man, over a couple of years now. After this was announced, it is draft day. We are going to celebrate appropriately enough. In hour number two, our friend and colleague, host of Nightlight, right here on Civic Media every evening, 6 until 8, normally from GBW in Green Bay. Pete Schwabe is actually in Madison. He's going to be here joining us in person, talking a little bit about the Packers, the draft, Green Bay, but also some entertainment things as well. Also, and what's worse, a food edition in hour two. Onions or no onions? We'll discuss that. Our old friend Kevin O'Connor is going to be here at the bottom of the hour, my old broadcast partner, talking about Green Bay Packer draft, booms and busts of the past. And also, anybody remember the old NFL Cheese League here in Wisconsin? We'll discuss that with Kev at the bottom of the hour. But now somebody who I know remembers the old NFL Wisconsin Cheese League. He is there joining us live from Lambeau Field via telephone. Civic Media's great sports reporter. Nobody's better than our own Mike Clemens. Mike, thanks for taking the time on a busy, busy day.
Yeah, you know, I think there is kind of a cell signal problem here because maybe the volume of people, because I've kind of had trouble getting things uploaded or whatever, even though I got to 2 or 3 bars. But how are you, Todd?
I'm doing well. It's interesting you bring that up because we actually kind of toyed around with doing the show up there either today or tomorrow. And because of what you just said, and in fact, I got some information that went through some of the people are having to register or whatever. It's just, it's crazy what people have to do. All these national people come in, plus people visiting. And I think it's really going to wreak havoc with some of these signals. So that's part of the reason we're not up there live. But you're always there on site bringing us the best from the Packers, the Brewers, the Bucks, and the Badgers. Have you ever been to a draft in person like this before? Obviously, first time in Wisconsin, but have you been to these before?
No, and that's because people say, oh, so you're going to Radio Music City Hall in New York, right? Or you're going to go to Nashville. You know,
right.
Since Roger Goodell got the idea, say, how can we make more money on this? How can we turn this into an even better TV show? And the year that they did it in Nashville was really terrific pictures, and it was a great party atmosphere, too. And then that is when it really took off. Kansas City seemed to be a pretty good place. We're going to be interested to see if, in fact, Green Bay has as big a draw as they had in Detroit last year and some of the previous markets, only because, you know, I think there's an awful lot of people that wonder if the weather is going to be iffy, that the fact that Green Bay, as opposed to those larger markets, has got fewer places to stay in. And some of the prices, you know, motels that usually go for $90 a night, $100, they're charging $600 a night.
Right.
Parking right now, if you get on a busy street like Oneida that goes right by the stadium, as far as 8 blocks away, there's a church that's charging $100 for parking. and it's that way all the way in.
Right.
And so everybody thinks that this is going to be their big payday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to see the volume that maybe they thought they would.
Interesting. Interesting. And I know you're going to be there all week covering this for us. What, as people are going to watch this tonight on ESPN, of course, but I mean, there's a lot of different places you could watch or listen to it. Just being there on the ground, they're calling it the auditorium, but yeah, there's a big, from what I see in the pictures, you're there. Describe this to us. It looks like a great big oversized outdoor tent, But this is technically outside, right? We're what we're going to see tonight on television.
Oh yeah, you know. So you take Lambeau Field, and then you take the parking lot around the stadium, and over by the pro shop, which is on the north side, and they've built a giant stage like they have with these other outdoor NFL drafts. It's, you know, NFL cities around the country for the past decade or so. And the director, you know, let us know on a conference call like 6 months ago, because everybody's like, where are they going to put this? They're going to put it by the Hudson Center across the street? Are they going to do it here? They could do it. There was talk, maybe they do it inside the bowl. And at the end of the day, they said, you know what, we're going to do it in the parking lot, but you take the stage so it faces. So when you take that picture of Goodell hugging the player and giving him a jersey, the behind the camera shot has Lambeau Field as the backdrop. So the way that's all situated. I mean, it's a TV show at the end of the day, right? With about 80 to 100,000 extras, that being the fans from all over the country, you know, as part of the extras in the in this production. So that's what you'll see tonight. They are going to utilize Lambeau Field as part of their, quote, red carpet. So to add to the pageantry, just like they did with the Honors show that started out on Saturdays, now they've moved it to prime times on bigger networks, they're going to have those 16 prospects that decided to commit and come to Green Bay to pick up their jersey in the first round, if in fact they get taken. That little, quote, red carpet is going to be along the visitor's sideline inside Lambeau, then a tunnel, and then out to the big stage. And so, you know, some of the people have to anchor this, like, okay, that's going to take about a minute, 2 minutes a walk. So that's how much time we've got to talk about this guy while they go through the tunnels. But and for me, the way I cover this every year, Todd, is I don't go to the draft. That's not where the action is. I cover the Packers.
Right.
And so we sit in our usual media auditorium where you see LaFleur or Love after a game or Aaron Rodgers all those years. We sit in that auditorium, and when the Packers are on the clock, they make their pick. Then the TV screens go up. The scout that found him comes down and talks to us from the office. We get the player on the phone, on the speakerphone. We interview that kid that just became a Packer. And then at the end of the night, Gutekunst comes down and tells us why the team selected him. So that's what we're here. We're here to gather the probably 8 to 10, 15 players that they draft, interview them, and get to know them. And we put that in our reports, you know, over the next couple of days.
And it's great that you've been to these before. You know the rhythm. I think there's been a lot of speculation from the fandom. I'll put myself in there. Oh, you know, are they going to go wide receiver? What are they? Is Goody going to, you know, trade up for something dramatic because it's there? I mean, in your experience, it seems like, from what I'm hearing from you and others, that the Packers are like, no, this is just going to be business as usual. Is that your take?
Yeah, while they always want to take the best player available, I also think as a part of their template in the draft is, it's harder to find the bigger guys, the defensive linemen, the defensive ends, you know, linebackers like a Quay Walker, et cetera, versus we can get all kinds of good wide receivers in the second and third and even later rounds. Hell, you know, Donald Driver was a seventh-round pick.
Right.
So every year, though, it's like, because they haven't taken one since Javon Walker, and I think that was a Mike Sherman call.
Mm-hmm.
And every year people say, is this the year they take a wide receiver? And I say, yeah, and are you like Linus in The Great Pumpkin, where this is the year, and instead the Packers are like Lucy with a football, and they pull it away from you at the last second? You know, don't bite on it. It's possible, but I think that they're probably going to sit there at 23. They'll start out tonight. Gutekunst will have about 7 or 8 players that he thinks are worth a first-round pick. He's picking 23. Mm-hmm. By the time they get to him at 23, then he'll decide. These 2 or 3 guys still left on the board, are they worth it? Do the numbers match? It's all about value. And then at that point, he'll pull the trigger and take that best player available, those 2 left. Or if there are anybody left above the line, then he'll get on the phone and trade down and get out of there.
Yeah. Mike Clemens, a minute left here. We'll let you go. But what should our listeners, our viewers know from you being there on the ground locally in Green Bay that they might not hear anyplace else, whether it's just the flavor of the place or anything else? People might be familiar with Green Bay for having gone to the game. What should people know?
Well, quickly, for our listeners that are maybe headed up to Green Bay, my recommendation is take one of those park and ride things and get off there and take a shuttle into the area and then come and party. Unless, of course, you've already figured out how to stay here, you know, then you're getting into ground zero. On the other hand, this is a great day to celebrate. There's a lot of kids. There's this Matthew Golden from Texas who, you know, 10 years ago, he and his mom were homeless outside of Walmart. And tonight he's got a chance to be a first-round pick. He visited with the Packers, by the way, 2 weeks ago, a wide receiver. And that's what's the best part about this is that instantly these kids become NFL players and a chance to change their families' lives.
Wow, incredible. Mike Clemens, we appreciate you taking time so very much. We'll look forward to all your reports over the next 2 or 3 days here. Be safe up there. Have a great time. We'll talk to you soon, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Love the show, man.
Appreciate you. Thank you so very much. Mike Clemens, everybody, our sports reporter on the ground there at Lambeau Field. How about that, Summers? I mean, you got somebody that is right there in the room, going to be talking to Goody, going to be talking to whoever they draft tonight. Keep it locked here on Civic Media because Mike is going to have these reports. You're not going to hear some of this stuff anyplace else but from our own Mike Clemens.
And I love that. I love his description of, oh, I'm not there in the draft. I'm there talking to the Packers after. You know, right. That stuff you don't hear from other people. And to me, the behind-the-scenes stuff in media is the absolute coolest. So
yeah, really
that was very interesting.
No, Mike always gets it done, always does a great job there. 17, 18, 19. We've got time to do this is a little report here. Not a little. It's an awesome report. Putting perspective on the day. This is a great entry here from our colleague Terry Barr, giving us a slice of the Green Bay Packers and the draft.
There's no denying the history of the Green Bay Packers, the only nonprofit community-owned team, third oldest, most wins in the NFL, and the same home field since 1957. Here's Packers Public Affairs Director Aaron Popke.
I think just what Lambeau Field means to football fans, it's often spoken of as the Mecca, it's on a bucket list, those types of things.
Now history comes to life along the Packers Heritage Trail when actors play the parts of Curly Lambeau, Vince Lombardi, and many others. And all along the downtown city walk, you can hear these Packers stories of the past.
Lean into the history, the tradition. We often hear, if we're not someone's favorite team, we're their second favorite team.
Learn the past throughout the day on Thursday, April 24th, before it's about the future when the draft officially kicks off that night. With your daily NFL draft coverage, I'm Terry Barr. Find more anytime at WGBW.FM and WISS.FM.
There you are, Terry Barr. Great Terry Barr. We always appreciate her slice of Wisconsin, giving us a little taste of history there on draft day from Green Bay. Thank you, Terry. We appreciate you so very much. When we come back, I want to was listening a couple days ago here to Matt Rothschild was filling in on the 4-6 slot here before the new times got put into place. And one of our longtime callers, Joe, in Madison. And Joe, if you happen to be listening.
Yes, I remember this.
Joe, if you're listening, give us a call because you can say it in your own words because I'm not going to say it as well as you. But she brought up something that I think is so important on this draft day when a lot of cameras and microphones are going to be pointed in the direction of Green Bay and Lambeau Field. It is a rich history of the Packers, of Vince Lombardi, and what this really means, the history of this team. And it was Vince Lombardi who really set the tone in this state that the way he did it is an example for all of us. And it cut across party lines. And I think it's part of what makes Wisconsin great. It's part of why people love the Green Bay Packers, whether we always take time to remember it or to acknowledge it out loud or not. But we're going to do that. So come on back. We'll talk about that. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, Kevin O'Connor, Packers booms and busts, and the old NFL Cheese League. Stay tuned. It's draft day right here on the Todd Allball Show. You're listening across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back from the Tahlo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour on NFL Draft Day. Zomer's on the board, dialing up some Packers green and gold music. Glad to have you along. Again, many thanks to Mike Clemens, the great Mike Clemens, our sports reporter here at Civic Media, on the ground at Lambeau Field. We'll be tracking all of the Packers' picks during this draft, having the interviews from Gutekunst and the players and everyone else. So keep it locked here. We will have those updates from Mike Clemens. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, our friend Kevin O'Connor is in, my old broadcast partner from my Platteville days. He's going to be joining us for a little commentary, a little take and an analysis on Packers drafts, booms and busts, and also the old cheese league as well. You're much too young to remember, Zomers, but we'll fill you in.
I sure am.
It was from the 90s, yes. But interesting take on that. And Kevin, of course, I shouldn't say of course because most people don't know, grew up in Chicagoland. So, yes, he's a Bears fan. Don't hold it against him. So he'll have a couple of takes for our Bears fans out there as well. Bears, booms and busts in the draft as well.
And, yeah, really, when it comes to Bears fans, they have it hard enough as it is. You don't need to hold it against them.
Right, exactly. That's a good take. I wanted to bring this up before we went any further because it's really important. And one of the many reasons I love doing this show is because of the people out there listening and the people that participate in our show. And one of our longtime listeners and callers, Joe in Madison, she called in Matt Rothschild, was filling in the 4-6 slot a couple, 3 nights ago, Zomers. On Tuesday, thank you. Zomers is on the board. He should know. And Joe called in to remind us as the draft approached here that one of the things we should pause and reflect upon was the late, great Vince Lombardi. And not just because of his record as the head coach of the Packers, not just because he won Super Bowl 1 and 2, or his teams did with him as coach, not just because of his great ability to inspire people and to make us better, but because of his views and his leadership at a time in this country when it was difficult to do so. And Joe was talking about Lombardi explaining, and this is, I'm not going to explain this as well as she did, but I'm going to attempt to. Lombardi once told a reporter that he viewed his players as, quote, neither black nor white, but as Packer green, unquote. Amongst professional football head coaches in the midst of the civil rights movement, Lombardi's anti-discrimination views were, to say the least, unusual. Joe also reminded us that Lombardi had a brother who happened to be gay, who he loved very much. And I think this is such a great example, and I've talked about it in different ways on this show before. Sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with national movements, don't get me wrong, but sometimes the greatest effect we can have is on the world is by making a difference right where we're at. And Lombardi didn't necessarily set out to completely change or take on the entire civil rights movement, but he controlled what he could control, which was his locker room and his organization. And he made it very clear that he would not tolerate racial or sexual discrimination of any kind. That if he heard racial slurs or gay slurs, people were gone, done, zero tolerance. And he stuck to it. And so people in that locker room just knew that that wasn't going to happen. No more so than you could go out and play half-assed on the field, you also were not going to be tolerated as a racist or a homophobe in the locker room or any part of the organization.
It wasn't even just in the organization either. It was also restaurants. If they had restaurants that wanted to seat black players elsewhere, like, nope, we're not going here. Everybody leave. And they did.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing that up. That's what Joe was talking about as well. Thank you for bringing that up. That Lombardi made it clear around town that he wasn't going to stand for it. I'm going to read something here. This is from CheeseheadTV.com. CheeseheadTV.com. Says, since there's already a lot of rich contest that exists on the subject, content, pardon me, says, I want to shine a spotlight on these existing pieces and compile some snippets along with player quotes here. Says, his greatest Packer teams depended upon full integration, Lombardi's. When he came to Green Bay as assistant coach from the New York Giants, the Packers had only one black player, Nate Borden. Lombardi understood that he could not construct a championship team by ignoring black athletes. As a head coach and general manager, people forget that. He wasn't just the head coach. He was the GM as well, Lombardi. He drafted and recruited some of the greatest black players in the league. In 1967, the Packers fielded a squad with 13 black athletes, including All-Pros Willie Davis, Willie Wood, Dave Robinson, Herb Adderley, and Bob Jeter. But Lombardi did not simply play black athletes. He treated them the same as his white players, even when disciplining them. Quote, it never enters my mind that I'm being chewed out because, this is a direct quote from David Robinson. It says, I'm a Negro, he said. The important thing is everybody gets equal treatment, unquote. That from Dave Robinson. Traditionally, head coaches assigned hotel rooms based on race. Lombardi, however, made sure that room assignments were not made on the basis of skin color. In 1967, Harry Edwards reported, the Packers were the only NFL team with such a policy. Important to remember that you can be proud to be a Packer, not just because of our championships, not just because of Lombardi, but what Lombardi stood for off the field as well. Come on back. Kevin O'Connor is next. Farm news update, weather and sports. Back after this, the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Packers, go, go, and the Packers rock it. We'll be rolling. Go, you Packers, go, go. I think it's time, Terry. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, April 24th, NFL Draft Day in Lambeau Field in Green Bay. That's from happier times from the 80s down in Chicagoland. A little Super Bowl shuffle for you. Thank you, Zombers. I asked if he could pull that up. He wasn't even a glimmer in his mom's eye in 1985. But well done. Well done. That's intro music for our next guest. He was my broadcast partner, the better half of the broadcast team, by the way, back in the 90s at UW-Platteville. He is now the marketing director at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago when we were down there. I'm going to call him the sports authority, Kevin O'Connor. Kev, how are you?
I'm doing good. I appreciate that musical interlude. I have a VHS tape in my basement of the making of the Super Bowl Shuffle. If I could get that converted to digital, maybe we could share. I know every word to that song, and we got the day off of school the next day.
Really?
After the Bears won the Super Bowl. We did indeed.
William the Refrigerator, yes. Perry, Mike Ditka.
It was a thing. It was a thing. It hasn't been a thing since.
Well, as we were talking before we came on, you guys are on a one-game winning streak.
Unbeaten against the Packers in 2025, the old Chicago Bears. What can you say? You tried asking me what they're going to be like this year. Like, I mean, I don't know. We're talking draft. Like, obviously, they used a draft pick very, very, very recently on yet another quarterback. You review the list of others that they've drafted over the years in that position. Well, I'd be a to be determined at is what I would say.
We're going to get into the booms and busts here of the Packers and a little bit of the Bears in a second. But people who are frequent listeners of this show have heard me use the Kevin O'Connor line on several occasions. It is no more appropriate than it is today because I had a great thing lined up. I thought this will be fun and slightly funny. That I thought, well, we'll grill here in the studio. And so I thought, well, I'll go get like a George Foreman grill. And so here I have, lined up behind me, Kevin, We've got our Clemens beef franks. I went to the store and got those. Some generic buns. We got ketchup, mustard. We got tongs. I thought this will be great. We'll grill. I couldn't find a damn George Foreman grill to save my life. So, Kevin, what is it? Ideas like this, Kevin would look at me and say, great potential.
Wow. Oh, great potential, a great potential for disaster.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Today, yes, it was potential for disaster.
I was more thinking, you know, you were always an ideas person, the execution sometimes. Perhaps a little lacking.
That's a great way to put it.
Who was the coach? Was it? Well, I feel like it was the Buccaneers coach said. So, how do you feel about the execution of your team? I'd be in favor of that. I feel like that might be it. Yeah, no, that sounds about right. Well, I had forgotten about that. I've tried to stay away from the great potential for disaster.
Oh, I use it all the time. I use it all the time on this show for politics and otherwise.
Yeah. Find a microwave. You can warm up those Clemens beef franks and you can have a little snack after the show.
Exactly.
It's not a grill out, but it'll do.
Remember this? One time, Kevin and I were doing a Pioneer softball game and I actually grilled during the broadcast.
That's also what I was thinking about. Yeah. I feel like this is an idea that was put into action prior to the invention of said George Foreman grill.
Right.
It required
we were grilling before George Foreman had five sons named George.
Inevitably breaking a number of state rules regarding food safety and approved catering all at the same time.
Nobody died.
No.
All right, let's get to the matter at hand, Kev. The Packers have a pick later in, was it 23? I think Mike Clemens said picking 23 today. So, I mean, it's not going to be, well, I mean, they should get a decent pick, I think. But I thought it'd be fun to review some of the best and worst picks in Packers franchise history. These now, according to, this is from WISN Channel 12 in Milwaukee, but there are other places, NFL, other places that have it as well. I think this is true. Worst draft pick in Packers history. From Michigan State in 1989 in the first round, the second pick overall, Tony Mandridge.
I mean, I feel like that is a broad consensus, right? If you say worst draft pick, who's the one that I feel like most Packers fans are going to think of? I would like to think back as to, I mean, don't get me wrong, obviously part of why people think that is because he turned out to not be a very good football player. But like I feel like sometimes too, you need to pause and think, well, like, was it hated from the start? Did the person ever really have a chance? Was it already doomed for failure? Was it great right. potential for disaster from the beginning? But I do feel like not only for Packers, but for a number of years, teams drafting offensive linemen, I feel like that became the reference of, well, is this just going to be another Tony Mandridge? Right.
But it was
not the way you want to see your name used.
But it was big. I mean, it was going to be the second coming to the Packers. I mean, it was such a big deal and a complete bust. Here's a name I completely forgot about. 1981, first round, number 6 pick overall from California. Not Aaron Rodgers. A Rich Campbell. Rich Campbell.
I mean, those were some dark years. There's a reason why those were some dark years for the Packers.
People thought he was going to be the heir apparent to Lynn Dickey. Younger Packer fans may find it hard to believe, but there were some dark times for the organization between Bart Starr and Brett Favre. Really, they say.
There were. That was the one brief moment where the Bears could claim some superiority.
Absolutely.
Divisions, but the Packers assisted in that cause with some of their selections.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yes.
Slightly more recent, according to WISN in Milwaukee, defensive tackle from Tennessee in the 2007 NFL draft in the first round, 16th pick overall, Justin Harrell. No idea. It just didn't go anywhere. So a couple of busts. How about for Bears? Any big busts in Bears history down there?
You know, it brings back a lot of bad memories when you start to kind of go back to look. It reminded me, but really what it amounts to is every quarterback they've tried to play for the last 25 years. Because the list, generally, right, so part of it is when the Bears have been so bad for so long, there's lots of bad draft picks, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be so bad. So it really is, it's the Cade McNown, Mitch Trubisky, like take your pick of your favorite quarterbacks when you figure the best quarterback they've likely had in the in this long but recent period is Jay Cutler, who they obviously got from another team and otherwise have attempted and failed to use the draft on multiple occasions. Curtis Enos, a running back, is another one that I think a lot of Bears fans would probably lean on. I think really now the bigger question for them is, will last year's draft pick and Caleb Williams become another one of those on the scrap heap? You know, it's funny because they don't necessarily automatically even go to Justin Fields, who would be the most recent to the most recent quarterback. I guess feeling like maybe that wasn't a complete bust, but the organization has now just become such a bust on all levels that you can't land it back on the quarterback. And that actually, more than anything, when I think about the draft and you mentioned, you know, thinking through some of these old picks, it is a good and fair reminder to some of these players how many other factors are involved in whether or not these draft picks turn out well or not, and that maybe they aren't as good as where they get picked. But boy, not having a lot around them, having bad coaching, bad organization, bad sports medicine staff, and everyone's hurt, like take your pick, can send some of these players that maybe would have been okay down a much worse path they never recover.
That's such a great point, Kevin. And we're talking to Kevin O'Connor, the is he your title marketing director at UW-Milwaukee?
I'm actually the director of trademark licensing, but
trademark licensing.
I'm at the Panther Arena. I'm in our beautiful arena team store.
Look at that
nice Panther hoodie over my shoulder. I can throw in a plug for that. There's draft programming. Jordy Nelson's doing a show down here at the Panther Arena.
One of my favorite all-time Packers.
Like a concert or something. He's doing a draft show, I believe. I'm not involved. I don't know. But
that's great because Jordy Nelson, honestly, got one of my favorite Packers of all time. I mean, there's a guy who just went to work every day and just got it done.
I feel like that he would rank, right? I'm as an outsider amongst Packer fans. I have to feel like he would qualify on many people's lists as that, and obviously someone who, because he was so beloved, has been able to keep sort of that media and otherwise profile and sort of stay in the game, which is something we see from a lot of former players these days as well, that there is that second career waiting. Because as we know, while football players are perhaps more well paid than you are, Todd, most yes, football players in the NFL, right, they're not getting lifetime rich without being a quarterback or maybe a receiver on that second or third contract, because the lifespan of an NFL player in the game winds up being so short, and they many times do many other things to remain a presence in. And in the case of Green Bay, sometimes it's that market, sometimes down here in Milwaukee, sometimes both.
You brought that point earlier that sometimes, you know, for guys getting drafted tonight and tomorrow, some of these fans are like, oh my gosh, we got the person, the guy who's going to turn this around. But I mean, you look at a guy like Joe Thomas, one of the best Badger players in history, goes to spend his whole career in Cleveland, gets in the Hall of Fame here, what, year or two ago, just one of the best players, in my opinion, in NFL history, never won a Super Bowl because they never really had the parts around him to really make it deep into the playoffs. But there's a Hall of Fame guy that, you know, if he would have had three or four more Joe Thomases, they probably would have won two or three Super Bowls.
Well, and what a great sort of counterexample to, like, oh, maybe some of these busts turned out to be busts because they didn't have great people around them, right? Mm-hmm. Then you take someone like Joe Thomas, who didn't always have great people around him and was generally in an organization that, I'll just say from the outside, doesn't always seem that highly thought of by the NFL observers, and yet still was able to have that kind of career on the field, command that level of respect off the field to also get support for something like the Hall of Fame. In many ways, that speaks to take nothing away from Hall of Famers who win multiple Super Bowls, and they obviously deserve great credit for that. But I think it's a great point, right? And probably also speaks to, using his case as an example, right, of having that support and coaching and structure and tools for success around you your entire football career or your entire sports career, what a difference that can make. That by the time maybe he got to a situation in the NFL that maybe wasn't great, he'd been coached up so much by so many great people prior to that, he wasn't going to let that atmosphere or maybe some of those questions derail him. And he gets so much credit for that. But I think I would have to imagine someone like him would fairly say, like, yeah, some of those other folks that, you know, maybe coached me in college or even were around me in high school really set me on the path where I wouldn't let those other things.
And now he's doing stuff with Hall. He has a Hall of Fame beef. He's making great beef and has a farm. And he's just, I mean, he's one of those guys who's always successful. I want to get to the Cheese League, Kevin. But according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, their number one Packer draft class was 1958. Jim Taylor, Jerry Kramer, and Ray Nitschke. Not bad.
No, that's not a bad draft class at all. I'd love to know so exactly how much scouting went into that draft class, right? How much visibility? How much did they know the way that class was gonna hurt?
All right, 1 minute, Kev. I know we gotta let you go. I appreciate your time. Cheese League, tell people in 1 minute what this was. This was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, for folks that don't know, right? NFL teams used to use Wisconsin as their home base in the preseason. It was up to five or six at one point, besides the Packers.
In 1995, yeah.
There you go. The Bears being in Platteville is truly, we joke about it, but that's how I learned of Platteville for the first time and wound up going to school there. But the Chiefs up in River Falls, I know folks that are still Saints fans because they trained in lacrosse. And I mean, this day and age, the business has changed, so I understand why it doesn't exist anymore. But it was definitely one of those cool, like, Arizona spring training kind of things for the NFL. And it was great for these towns across Wisconsin. And I note that tie as we circle back to the draft now, how much the NFL has always played a role in the entire state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bears, the Packers, the Jaguars, the Chiefs, and the Saints all in Minnesota across the river in Mankato at one time. So that's the old Cheese League. Kevin O'Connor, we thank you, my friend, at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Stop in their great Panther gift store when you're down there.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 before the hour of 2 o'clock. No, 3 o'clock. Still getting used to the new time thing. The schedule.
Being you and me both.
Being at 2 to 4 instead of noon to 2. But here we are at 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC, CBS News for you, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. Check of sports with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, at Lambeau Field in Green Bay here on this draft day. Check of weather as well. I don't think the weather is going to be as bad as first maybe thought. Looks like most of the rain coming in Green Bay later tonight, overnight, into tomorrow morning. So then it basically what it boils down to is during the draft proper, it starts at 7 o'clock tonight and then picks up tomorrow, I think, at 6 o'clock, that during the draft proper, it should be dry. So it just might be those times coming and going up there. But, you know, all these people, all the events and everything, I hope they have good weather up there in Green Bay.
At the same time, you know, if it's a little rainy, that's not going to stop anybody.
No. People are going to be lit. to put it mildly. If you're looking for the Brewers, by the way, they're playing, getting ready to get underway. The pregame show started about a little over half an hour ago on our stations over the airwaves on terrestrial radio in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Brewers taking on San Francisco, the Giants. Let one slip away last night. The Brewers lost by a score of 4-2. They go at it again, getting underway right now on the stations that I mentioned. And then Friday, they go down to St. Louis for a three-game stand against the Cardinals, the dreaded, the evil St. Louis Cardinals, the Brewers, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday there. Again, many thanks to Kevin O'Connor. Always great to have Kevin on the show. Just, I mean, when you think about the impact of some of the people get ginned up for the draft, and we're making such a big deal about it this year because it happens to be in Wisconsin, in Green Bay. First time ever, probably only going to happen once, at least in my lifetime. We'll see. Always a chance, I guess. So, I mean, it's exciting. Lots of people in the Fox Valley, the Green Bay area, big economic boom for them. Mike Clemens said earlier, maybe because of weather and other things, maybe not quite as big as some people had hoped, but still an economic boom. And all of the press, national press coming in here, doing podcasts, television shows, radio shows from Green Bay, it does nothing but up the ante in terms of our appearance. I thought this would be fun. I'm a fan of Dan Patrick, the Dan Patrick Show. They're doing their show in Green Bay, the radio show, and they're also streaming, I think, on YouTube. And this is so quintessential Wisconsin. This has been a while back, a few years ago. They had a guy, I think, call in or whatever, and he posted this thing online and to the song of Valerie, and he sings something else. And so they found the guy in Green Bay. Going to play a little bit of this. We'll see how long we let it run. But here's the Dan Patrick Show, National Dan Patrick Show in Green Bay yesterday.
Now, we did when we came in this morning, there were people who were lined up from 3:30 in the morning. And Seton goes, I just ran into a guy who I think is the guy who gave us one of the great sound bites in show history. And I go, all right, I'm curious about this. And it's Tom in Wisconsin. So if we can play the salary song, that would be great.
Salary, 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 salary.
This guy posted salary, this online.
Salary, 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 salary.
So Seton runs into Tom in Wisconsin waiting in line, and we didn't know if that's really the same guy. So let's bring up Tom in Wisconsin.
Yeah! Yeah! There he is! Legend!
Legend! It's like seeing Bigfoot. You just walk through and you're like, it is real.
All right. So Tom,
it's a bad idea.
Can you?
It's a bad idea.
Can you?
So this
prove
is the guy
you put
down. So this is a guy that they find who posted this thing, and they brought him on Patrick's show, and they and the guy's like, it's a bad idea, and Patrick says, so were you a little lit up? And he goes, yeah, on a few Miller Lights, and they get him to kind of recreate the song on the show. But it's just a great example of whether you're a draft person or a football fan or not a football fan to have these national shows come in. I don't care whether it's Dan Patrick's show or are you all the ESPN crew. You've got other national, the NFL Network is in town as well. And the amount of, you know, in politics, we call it earned media, quote unquote, where you're getting attention, you're getting media that you're not paying for. And so when you have all these different national media places talking about the Green Bay Packers, talking about Green Bay, talking about, you know, there were posts of Booger McFarland, I think, from ESPN was having breakfast with a couple other guys. And they're talking about these places in Green Bay. It does nothing but help the state of Wisconsin and the Green Bay economy. And so I get it. Not everybody is a sports-minded person. Not everybody gets the point of why we're making such a big deal out of this day. But that's part of it. It's what makes Wisconsin great. And as we said earlier in the show, it's not just about sports. It's about the fact that we are proud to have a former coach, a Super Bowl winning coach like Vince Lombardi, who said, I don't look at my players as black or white. I look at them as Packer green. And to me, that's one of the coolest things about this day is to celebrate the legacy, not just the sports part, but the civil rights part of the change that Lombardi and the Packers made in the NFL that still exists to this day in many ways. And hey, the more publicity we can get for that story and for the Packers themselves, I'm all for it. Come on back a little What's Worse for you in Hour 2, a food edition. And then our own Pete Schwabe, host of Nightlight, coming up live here in the studio. It's the Todd Allball Show for an NFL Draft Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.